Good morning. Thank you, team, for sharing those songs with us this morning. And, it truly is a blessing to be able to meet together with God's people. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. We have just come out of the time of the greatest meal of the year to enter into the time of the greatest story ever told in the history of mankind about the greatest man, God, who has lived on the face of the earth. And now this morning we want to look at the greatest text that was ever written in the Scripture. At least it's the most familiar text written in the Scripture. It's in this third chapter of John, and it's the what verse? 16. Thank you. John chapter 3, verse 16. I could hear some rumblings, but no real loud calling out of that particular verse. But it reads like this: For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. And I want to share with you out of this greatest text this morning four things. I want to share with you the concept of perfect love. Secondly, of a priceless gift. Third, of a personal faith. And then fourth, of permanent life. And so let's kind of look at these four things as comes right out of this particular verse. First of all, I want you to notice perfect love. The verse begins, "For God so loved the world." You know, as we stop to take a moment to consider who God is and what He has done and the creation that He has made, and then to realize that this perfect God who spoke perfectly everything into existence that we have, this perfect God loves this world with a perfect love. If you were God, or if I were God, chances are we would have tore the whole thing down by now because of what man has done with it. And we would probably start all over again. But you see, God's love is so pure and so perfect, and His desire to have man come into an intimate relationship with Him is such an urgency for Him that He continues to pour out His love and His grace on this world. And He pours that out through the person of the Holy Spirit. He has demonstrated that through the person of Jesus Christ. And He is going to fulfill that by the promises of what is yet to come. God's love is so perfect that He is not willing to throw this world into the garbage heap. But His love is so pure that He reaches to man in an effort to develop a relationship with man that brings honor to His name. Perfect love. Something that is difficult for us to really grasp. But God's love is so pure and so perfect that it is amazing. For God so loved the world. Secondly, I want you to notice how much that love manifests itself in this priceless gift that He has given us. That He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. What a priceless gift. We in this nation have seen over the past 10, 11 years an awful lot of American blood shed in various areas of the world. In an effort to bring people freedom who have been enslaved to tyranny, but not only that, but to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy here, and we want to secure those freedoms from people who would destroy us and do everything that they can to disrupt. You see, 9/11, as horrible an event as that was just a microcosm, just a little glimpse into the hatred that is being poured out and will be poured out against the United States of America. And so we have sent our sons and daughters into harm's way to help to secure freedom. We anticipate their return to us, and we look forward to their return. Now, compare that with the love that God has for us in that He sent His only begotten Son knowing that His Son was going to be rejected. Knowing that His Son was going to be brutalized. Knowing that His Son was going to be killed. Knowing all of these things, God sent His only begotten Son for those who had rejected Him, for those who didn't want anything to do with Him, that He might be able to have us or give us opportunity to come into a personal relationship with Him. What an amazing gift God has given. The gift of His own Son, the gift of His own blood, in order that we might have life. That's perfect love, you see. Love is what drives that type of a gift-giving circumstance. We will celebrate our love for one another in coming weeks by the exchanging of gifts. But I strongly doubt that there is anyone in this room who will give the kind of a gift that Jesus Christ gave of Himself, that His Father gave of Him to this world. It's priceless. It is perfect. And it comes from a heart of perfect love to offer a priceless gift. Now, the gift of Jesus Christ has been extended to us, but we, in order to open that gift and to have a relationship with God, we must have a personal faith. Notice as that verse continues, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," whosoever believes in Him, whosoever. In other words, our faith must be a personal faith. There isn't any way someone else can get by on our faith, nor can we get by on someone else's faith. As parents, we would want all of our children to have the assurance in their heart that they are God's people. But we can't give them that assurance. They must have a personal faith themselves in order to be saved from a life, an eternal life of destruction, of pain and suffering. But when we take and place a personal faith in Jesus Christ, we are given the gift of life. And that's an amazing, amazing offer that God is making to us. But we all must do it personally. As I look around this room today, I see a lot of parents. I see some grandparents who really want to see their children and their grandchildren in God's kingdom forever. They must make that decision on their own. They can't get by on your tithe. They can't get by on your teaching. They can't get by on your example. They must get by on their personal faith. Now, your example becomes vitally important as you are faithful to Christ and show your love for Him. As you involve yourself in the daily disciplines, you give them a great example to follow so that they can reach out and have the same Christ that you have. But that decision must be a personal decision that they make. So follow Jesus, be obedient to Him, and give them a fair shot at eternal life. But their faith must be personal. Explain to them the necessity of a personal decision for Jesus Christ. And then notice, finally, this thing that is being offered is a permanent life. The end of that verse goes, but have eternal life, or have everlasting life, or however you wish to present that. All right? This world that we live in is fleeting at best. You know, when we're young, we think that we have forever. And then when we hit our age, we look back and say, my goodness, where in the world did it go? My father just turned 100 years old a few weeks ago. And he made a statement. I tried to talk with him at his 100th birthday, to visit with him. He's about deaf, and you have to lean over and yell in his ear, and then he only catches part of what you say, so he has some strange answers to questions that you might ask him. But he made a statement to me while we were trying to visit. And he simply looked at me and he said, Lynn, I can't believe they've gone by this quickly. At 100 years old. Now we think that, you know, 100 years is forever. But when you hit that point, you look back and you say, man, it's gone. It's gone. Well, when God offers everlasting life, He offers it forever. It'll never be gone. There will never be an aging process. Some of you here can appreciate the fact that there'll not be an aging process in heaven. That, you know, no more sore knees or sore backs or sore shoulders or any of that kind of thing. There'll never be suffering. There'll never be pain. But instead, there will just be continual happiness, joy, peace, and love, all of the awesome things with none of the negative stuff. Everlasting. Everlasting. Some of us, when we get to heaven, are going to have hair again. That'll be kind of nice. Yes, it will. You know, some of us are going to have strength again. You know, but the amazing thing is, nothing will ever diminish in us. But forever, we will have life. Why? Because of the perfect love of God, who sent the priceless gift of His Son. And when we put our personal faith in Him, His promise is that we'll have permanent life. As you celebrate this coming Christmas season, I encourage you to remember those four simple things. John 3:16 is not necessarily a Christmas message, and yet it can't be separated from Christmas because of the greatest gift ever given, because of the greatest person who has ever lived, because of the greatest promise ever given to man, and that's eternal life. God loves you, and He loves me, and He loves our children and our grandchildren. He even loves our parents. His love is amazing. Let's stand. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, for just a moment, I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you put a personal faith in Him to trust Him for salvation? If not, I want to give you that opportunity right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, right where you're standing. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and then put it back down, because I'm going to pray for you and I want to lead you in a prayer where you can begin to exercise this gift of faith that God has given you. So if you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you right now quickly put your hand up and then put it back down? I want to pray for you. Anyone at all? Are there any others? Thank you. Thank you. Any more? Okay, we're going to close in a word of prayer. And in this prayer, those of you who have raised hands, I want you to do a very simple thing, and that is to pray along with me. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. And He has promised He will come in. If anyone comes to me, He says, I will in no wise cast them out. So He is at the door of your heart knocking right now. Let Him in. So let's pray. I'm going to pray for you first, and then I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this congregation, for these amazing people. But Father, most importantly, we thank You for Your amazing grace. We thank You for Your amazing promises, and that You'll give us Your presence. And Lord, there have been these who have raised their hands today, And I pray that right now, Lord, that they would pray and receive you as their Savior. And so, Father, bless them as they open themselves up to you and exercise the gift of faith you've given them. And we'll thank you for that. For those who have raised their hands, I want you to pray right now with me. Our gracious Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for the promise that you wish to have me a part of your family and a part of your kingdom. Jesus, I acknowledge that I have sinned and that that sin has hurt you. For that, I am sorry. And I ask you to please forgive me and come into my life right now. I turn my back on my sin and ask you for salvation. Now, Lord, I believe that you are God. And I believe that your promises and your word are true. Thank you for giving me forgiveness and coming into my life. In your name I pray. Amen. For those of you who prayed that prayer along with me, I want you to know that right now, your name has been taken out of the books of punishment and placed into the book of life. From this moment, Jesus Christ walks with you. He will give you guidance and leadership. I encourage you to tell someone that you trust today that you've made that decision so that they can be praying for you as you begin this journey with Jesus. Folks, I want to thank you for being here today. Thank the worship team for sharing with us. And just ask that your prayers might be poured out for these who have raised their hands. May God bless you. Give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you. Have a great day in Jesus today.